Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Where Your Dreams, Season 2, Episode 5.
You got to just put it out there, what you want to do. I mean, you got to just talk about it, whether it's with like your best friend or your therapist or someone at the bank. Like, I don't know. You just got to start to say, like, this is what I'm doing. Because as soon as you start to project talking about what you want to achieve, and if you're not, you know, really open about what your goals are, people don't know how to support and how to make referrals.
Hey dreamers, you are listening to Wear Your Dreams, an amazingly inspiring podcast where we speak to the coolest girl millionaires, girl bosses, and fashion entrepreneurs. If you have ever dreamed of creating your own business, then this podcast will give you all the tips, advice, and inspiration to make it happen. Lego.
Are you interested in starting a fashion brand? Well, WYD School is the new digital school for fashion entrepreneurs. Sign up to receive your free business consultation call for your new fashion startup at bemigirl.com/WYD School. That's gbemigirl.com/WYD School. Lego. Hey, beautiful people. Welcome to episode 5 of season 2. Now, I'm so excited for this show, as I always am. Today, we are speaking to Chelsea Matthews. She is a marketer and a female entrepreneur of Matte Black. And to be honest, it was completely awesome speaking to Chelsea. She just really kind of says it as it is. Her story is one that I love. You know, she was working in corporate. She was kind of feeling the itch, feeling the entrepreneurial itch, and knew it was time to start her business. And so she really speaks about her journey and that transition from kind of working that 9 to 5, then launching her own business. And she gave some really, really good tips about that, which I absolutely loved. We also delve quite deep into her expertise as a marketer, and she gives some awesome tips as to what we should be doing as creative entrepreneurs with social media and what we should be really paying attention to. So that was really, really interesting, and it was quite cool to really get an insight from her perspective on marketing. I know you guys are going to love this episode. It was really refreshing and inspiring to hear Chelsea's awesome story and how far she's come in building a team of, I believe, 10 people. She's got an office in LA. And, you know, it just seems like her business is growing, her business is flourishing, and she's absolutely passionate about what she does. And yeah, it's wonderful to see. So yeah, let me know what you guys think. And just to add, there were a few kind of sound glitches within the show, but please try to kind of listen over them, as there's so much value in this interview. So I'm going to go into the show. But before I do, actually, make sure if you haven't already, you subscribe to the show so that we can be easily found. So subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. And I'd love to know what you guys think. Bye, guys. Hey everyone, welcome to Wear Your Dreams. I'm Alice Alouiton, founder of Bemi, and today I have a very special guest. I'm talking to Chelsea Matthews. Now, Chelsea Matthews is the CEO and founder of Matte Black, a culture marketing firm based in Los Angeles. Chelsea has been in social media marketing for over 5 years and has spoken at conferences such as Internet Week, Social Media Week, and Swim Lessons. Some of her clients include Core Power Yoga, VW, Toms, and many more. She was recognized as a tastemaker to know in the Dell Inspired 100 campaign and has been spotlighted in the Huffington Post, Vogue magazine, and on YouTube's The Stylish. Chelsea, welcome to Wear Your Dreams.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Woo. Now, I've said a very short intro about you. So could you tell us a bit more about yourself and personal life so we can really get to know you?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm originally from San Francisco, Northern California. I currently live in Los Angeles and I've been here for almost 10 years, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I've in some ways kind of graced, you know, north to south of California because I lived in San Diego for some time when I was in college and at university there. And then I actually did a short stint in London, lived there for about 6 months. And that was how I met my now husband and have recruited him over to this side of the pond. I, like I said, I've been in Los Angeles for about 10 years now. Originally, kind of started foraying into my own business, about 5 or 6 years ago. And so that has like since kind of really developed and progressed, over the last few years. So that's a bit about, you know, me today. We're currently, a team of 10 here in Los Angeles. As you mentioned, Matte Black is us, and we, you know, kind of position ourselves as a culture marketing firm, and we get to work with some really exciting brands from, you know, really recognizable companies like OPI Nail Polish, Incase, Tom Shoes, to, you know, a lot of really cool up and coming brands in so many different industries, from fashion to beauty, food, tech. It's kind of all across the board.
Yeah. And so Chelsea, tell us kind of about the beginning, you know, of your career. How did you get into marketing?
Yeah, you know, my foray into marketing actually started originally in offline. So I was doing a lot of events and event production, event marketing in the fashion sector. That was actually kind of primarily due to the fact that social media wasn't really around at that time. I think we had MySpace, and that was like really solely utilized by people as individuals and not really being leveraged by brands at that time. So it was a really interesting time in how brands were marketing, and really they were putting a lot of their dollars into, you know, events and these kind of offline opportunities to connect with, you know, their consumer audiences. So that was really where it started. And I spent my first probably 3 years in LA, working with brands from, you know, Diane von Furstenberg to Tibby to Chloe, producing events. And then that kind of started to segue into trade shows. And doing trade shows kind of exposed me more to the business side of the fashion industry. I met a lot of really interesting people and companies and brands, and did that for about 2 years. And then it was around that time that social media started to become more relevant. And really, it was just kind of Facebook and Twitter. And so I started to pay attention to it. And I got, you know, kind of interested in learning more about it and trying to like delve in. So I started to kind of experiment a bit, you know, with the brands that I was working with, but then kind of really using my relationships and networking with all these people that I'd met over the years to position myself as a potential social media freelancer. So it was really kind of jumping into another pond, but I saw that that was where kind of dollars were going and where people were spending their most time and energy trying to understand that space. So that was kind of how I segued into the digital world from kind of the offline event world.
Yeah. And were you kind of self-taught with social media, or did you kind of do any courses or anything like that? How did that whole kind of learning aspect work?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to say, but then there really wasn't any courses. Yeah. You know, it was fully self-taught, and there was starting to become more, digital marketing agencies. So I started to kind of, connect with people in that realm and just kind of absorb as much as I could. I remember in the beginning, I was like, what are all these crazy, jargon words that they're using? So I just kind of tried to be a sponge and soak it up. But ultimately, I mean, it was like the wild, wild west back then anyway, when it came to social. So I think everyone was still just kind of trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a lot of experimenting,
And so tell us how you started Matte Black. What was that kind of transition like once you kind of were working in events? How did you get the idea to start Matte Black?
Yeah, well, actually, it came a little bit more out of necessity than I would, probably have originally jumped into it. But ultimately, to give a bit more background, I actually started another agency prior to starting Matte Black, and that happened very holistically. So, if I reference back to when I started freelancing and taking on clients and social media projects around that same time, I'd met someone who was also doing the same thing. And we kind of started to identify an opportunity to work more closely together and potentially like pool our clients and start to kind of, create something of an agency, but kind of in a scrappy way. Mm-hmm. And that started to build itself over, the course of 2 years or so. And then we kind of decided to part ways for just a myriad of reasons. And so that was kind of where Matte Black came. Honestly, there were some clients that I was going to continue working with. And so I knew I immediately needed to create, a company that they could live under. I had already spent the last 2.5 years kind of building an agency brand. And so I definitely knew what I wanted to do for the most part going into a new one. But I was kind of like, oh my, it was kind of a moment of being like, oh my gosh, what the hell's going on?
Yeah,
so it really kind of came out of a place of necessity. But fortunately, for the first, 6 months of starting Matte Black, I had, a client base, and it was just a small group of 3 clients. And so I'd already been working with them for some time. So I wasn't like fully in the dark, but it allowed me a little bit of time to just figure out how I wanted to position what we were doing and how we could be different and how I could do this for myself, as opposed to, with a partner. So that was kind of honestly how it started.
Yeah. And can you sort of comment on that transition of working for someone else and then kind of starting your own business? How was that kind of process for you?
It was amazing. I mean, I think it was, always in the cards in some way. I grew up, both my parents have always had their own businesses and run their own businesses. So it was what I was always exposed to in my childhood. And so I think for me, it was just always, in my mind, I was like, well, it's just a matter of time. It's just when, and what and whatever. And so I think, I was feeling really stifled in my job and just kind of bored and not creative and all the typical things you hear from people when they say that they, want to kind of jumpstart something different. I was basically all of those things, but I'd spoken to my husband about it and I was like, I want to go on my own, whatever. And he's like, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to sign up 4 clients at this retainer amount and know that one of those clients is always going to be revolving. So you'll always know that you have a base of 3 clients that are going to support revenue, at this stance. And that way, you're making what you need to make from a salary perspective and more. You can get into an office space, things like that. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to do it. Wow. And so that helped give me, I think, like a little bit of a, like, I guess, a kind of the goals or a framework that I could push myself towards and try to essentially like prove to him that I could do it. And then you just kind of fast forward like 3 or 4 months. And I think I ended up with 3 clients, but there was like a 4th, like small project and I did it. I just like made the leap,
Yeah. And what was the kind of most difficult part, would you say?
I mean, the most difficult part is selling yourself, I mean, it's like when you're used to working for people, you're given all the tools, and you're given the kind of positioning that you're supposed to, you know, emulate for them and speak, you know, from and things like that. So I think the hardest part was kind of being like, hey, like, this is what I'm doing and you need to get on board with it, you know? And I think really it comes down to relationships at that point, you know, people who know your work and know your personality and understand your vision and would kind of be like, cool, like I'm down to go on that ride with you, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was the hardest part, is just like having the balls, for lack of a better reference, to just like, you know, set up those meetings and call on friends and people that I know and just be like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Can you carve me into your budget? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, what's a typical day for you, like now, kind of now that you've, how long have you been, how long has it been with Matt Black now?
It's been just over 3 years.
Wow.
And I would say, you know, I mean, a typical day now is very different because I just had a baby 5 months ago. So
oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That boy or girl?
A little boy.
Oh.
Yeah. He's sweet. But that definitely threw a wrench in, you know, what I used to do. This. So, yeah, but a day-to-day life, I mean, I really, you know, it's, every day is a little different. There's definitely, you know, a lot of travel. I would say like every day starts with coffee, and most days end with wine. And, we have an office in, you know, an area called Culver City in Los Angeles, which is a really kind of creative pocket, of the city. Just a lot of great, interesting companies and brands. And, so it's a lot of meetings, calls, emails. We also have a production studio. We shoot a lot of content, from, you know, photography to lifestyle to video. So there's days, you know, when we're on shoots somewhere or shooting in studio or stuff like that. So every day is like a little different, but you know, there's always the core things that you got to tackle.
Yeah. Awesome. And now we're going into what I call the dream talk round. I love to sort of ask this question. So could you tell us a story of a time within your business when you literally felt like, wow, this is a dream come true. I'm literally living my dream.
Yeah. I feel like I've had so many of those moments in like really different ways. You know, I think there's like, there was a moment when we had our first, team vision day. And I think that that was something that, I felt really excited about. One, because, it's exciting to collaborate with your team, whether you're two people or 200 people, on the direction and vision of the company, and open that up to be a really collaborative process and to learn about what other people see for the development, of the company and where they see their roles fitting. And also, even just kind of planning for that day, like putting together those presentations of like, this is our org chart today, but this could be our org chart in 6 months. You know what I mean? And like really kind of dreaming big as a team, like who are our dream clients? Who would we want to work with and how can we work with them? Like, let's think of an idea on how we could, you know, pitch them and win business. And that was a day when you just kind of like, you know, and we actually just had our one for last year just recently. And it was like, our team was twice the size. And I don't know, I feel like that was a moment where it's like, you know, this is cool. Like, it's not just me. Like, there's a lot of people here who are passionate about what we're doing, and are passionate about seeing growth. So it's like, that was kind of a dreamlike moment, you know?
Wow. I love that. And what would you say your ultimate dream is?
Ultimate, my goodness. Ultimate for me is probably two different things. One would be, in some way creating and developing our own product. I don't know what that is, but we literally market products all day long. And so there's no reason why we couldn't develop something on our own and really like get experimental, and kind of, you know, create something that's special in ours. So that's one thing. And I think the other, is, you know, enhanced travel. You could look at for lack of a cliche statement, but like the Richard Bransons of the world, and just kind of how they've created this this world for themselves that is really exciting, and really kind of jet set and really collaborative with companies and people around the world. I think that's something that ultimately I would love to see.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing, Chelsea. I love that. And now I really kind of want to delve into your success as a marketer, because a lot of our audience are creative entrepreneurs. So I'd love to get your tips on, for example, what's your thoughts on creative entrepreneurs building a community and a tribe? You know, this is kind of something we hear often within the digital world, and I'd love to kind of get some more insights onto what you're seeing within tribe and community creation.
Yeah. I mean, I think, a perfect example is even, how Puno, who you previously interviewed, connected me with you, and how these things kind of unfold. Like, I think that it's really incredible to see how this kind of community of entrepreneurs, whether, small business, big business, freelance, whatever, are really to use your terminology, becoming a tribe. Like, we're all very hospitable with contacts and resources and ways to scale business. And I just feel like it makes you feel like you're not alone in what you're doing. And I think that also it's great to see how many resources are really scaling out there for these kind of communities. Like, I met Puno at this thing called the Unique Camp, which was, really marketed towards small business owners and people in that whole world. And, you meet 150 new people and you develop relationships there. Or you can look at really big organizations like Summit, who are doing those things on a multitude of different levels. So I definitely feel like I've seen, or maybe it's just because it's become more relevant to me, but I've seen a growth in these kind of creative experiential adventures that connect people in those kind of environments. So I think that is definitely supportive for anyone, whether you're just starting out and you need to expose yourself to these kinds of people, or you're 10 years deep in business,
What kind of trends are you, would you say you're seeing within the kind of digital marketing space? Is there anything that as creative entrepreneurs we should be paying attention to?
There's so many different things. I feel like this is going to sound, really kind of antiquated, but I still see email marketing as a primary channel, for growth and development for most brands. And again, I'm coming from this from the lens of a brand or product, who's looking to, maybe drive a sale or something like that. But ultimately, I think it's there's been so much weight and attention on social media the past few years, and there's so many people who have really carved out big pieces of their budget towards these things, when ultimately, unless you have a multi-channel approach to your digital marketing, you're going to put all your eggs in a basket that's not going to deliver. Social media is just one piece. It's just one channel. And unless you're talking about things across other channels and building audience through different verticals, you're going to be talking to a really small audience potentially. So I think what I'm starting to see is more people come to the table, okay, we get social is important and we want to be doing it, but we need something bigger. We need something that's what's the full picture here for us from a marketing standpoint? And so that's really refreshing for us to be seeing.
Okay. And so in terms of there's a new brand, a new fashion designer coming up, what would you say, in your opinion, is sort of the most effective way to market your brand on social media? Is it something that, you should be paying attention to from the get-go, or does it really just depend on the product? What's your kind of views on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it ultimately really depends on the product. But I think that, it's all about the quality and caliber of your content. I mean, I think that that's your first impression. So if you don't have that in a good place and you're not investing you know, time, energy, or resources if you have them into getting really high quality, beautiful photography, video, GIFs, etc., like you're already kind of setting yourself out for a little bit more of an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. The beauty of social media is it's an ongoing visual narrative, you know, so you have a new piece of your story to tell every single day, and you're going to run dry if you don't really plan that out appropriately. Mm-hmm. But to kind of echo on that too, I mean, using, you know, Puno with People Map and Made with Map as an example, having like the tools and resources to really understand how to build a community that's strategic and not just about the numbers, is also, you know, a really important thing to pay attention to if you want it to be successful.
Yeah. And I'd just love to hear, you know, a story from you of a client that you've worked out and how you kind of, an example of how you made them stand out within a particular campaign.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many different examples. I mean, ultimately, one brand that I've touched very closely from the beginning because it's my husband's company is a juice brand called Juice Served Here. So I tend to kind of fall back on that one, even though it's not the most recognizable of companies. It is one where we've been able to really drive that positioning from the beginning and experiment with campaigns and things of that nature. And it's one of our most successful brands too in terms of user-generated content and people kind of sharing photos at a rapid level. So, you know, a campaign we did with them, which was really great, was this kind of, the brand is called Juice Served Here, and it's constantly kind of referred to as JSH, like within the community. And we did a JSH daily ritual campaign where for every day for 30 days, we gave away a $50 gift card to someone at random for every single day. Mm. And the call to action on that was that they had to post a photo with the juice using the hashtag JSH daily rituals. So they were showing you how they integrate juice into their daily routine or daily rituals. And it was a really simple ask. And ultimately, like you could see a lot of engagement from that, or you could see five people who do it. Mm. But it really, like from the beginning, we had some really thoughtful people who created beautiful content. Like some of it was incredibly creative. Like I don't even know how they thought of these things.
Yeah.
But that was, it's kind of started the trickle effect to where we would be getting, you know, on good days, upwards of like 50 people sharing photos, using the hashtag. And it just, it wasn't even as much about the quantity of posts every day. It was really about the quality of what we saw come out, and like was one of the first exposures for us as to like how creative this community was that we were building. But naturally, you know, we got a lot of impressions from it. We saw a lot of growth on the channel, like all those, you know, kind of traditional KPIs you look at with any sort of campaign. But I think it was one of the first moments when you were like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like people care about this brand, you know, and it was probably only like 6 months in the market at that point. So that's when I kind of like always remember, you know, sometimes you can do a campaign and it kind of, you know, falls flat. And sometimes you do something and you're just like surprised by the community and what they give you. So
I'd love to know, Chelsea, can you kind of speak us through, you know, your process? Say you do get a campaign or a new client. What's that process like coming up with the ideas that you're going to use for the campaign? I'd love to hear a bit more about the kind of creative process.
Yeah. We'll typically always start with a team meeting. So if we, you know, kind of bring on a new client, we will try not to get too tapped into what they've got going on, with the exception of any like high level important things we need to know. Rather, we kind of want to sit down and like dissect the landscape and understand like what's going on and think about, you know, kind of the formulas and things that we've done before that have been really effective. But we'll all kind of like come to the table. The whole team will group together and we'll, you know, spitfire ideas and write them down and just kind of have, you know, a 1 hour creative brainstorm. And then from there, you know, everyone kind of has their individual roles and, you know, quote unquote specialties within the company. And so they'll kind of each, you know, carve out that piece of the strategy. Mm-hmm. But really, like it's a really collaborative and honestly really ongoing process. You know, I think the first part is like creating the strategy and pitching it to the client and things of that nature. But ultimately, we're creating so much for clients, like every single day at this point, that it's like every week we're, you know, kind of tossing around new ideas for things and picking up insights on something that's happened, you know, in the digital world that we're like, oh, this could be really cool to kind of, you know, emulate in a different way, you know? So that's kind of how we work.
Yeah. Awesome. And now I'm really excited about the next segment of Wear Your Dreams, as we are going into what I call the triple love round. And I'm going to ask you three questions about things you love and why. So the first question is a book you love.
So it's a book called Steal Like an Artist. And it was written by Austin Kleon. Really good book. It's like very easy read, very visual, inspiring in terms of ideas. Like it's just a good read for anyone in any sector.
I love the name. Still Like an Artist. Very, yeah. Very cool. And now a quote you love.
There's no I in success.
Mm. Could you speak us through what you love about this quote?
Yeah, I mean, it's a play off the whole there's no I in team, which, you know, I feel like is really kind of harps on that in the same way. But ultimately for me, I feel like the success that, you know, I've seen in business or just in personal life or any kind of sector is never done alone. And it's never done without kind of the creative input and, you know, challenging of ideas and I guess kind of just like the group process is what I can appoint most successes I've seen in life to.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't necessarily sit back and be like, oh, that success was entirely due to me. Like someone has influenced you in some way. Mm. So that's kind of why it resonates with me.
Awesome. And now a inspirational woman you love.
Man, I feel like there are a number of them, but one woman, she's actually an interior designer called Kelly Wurstler. It's kind of a random source of inspiration, but I think that I was always really inspired by what she did, like her work, her like diversification of channels in her business from, you know, product to design to publishing books to partnerships with chocolate companies. Like it kind of goes, you know, all across the board. So I've always really, you know, kind of kept tabs on what she's done and kind of how she's really diversified her name and her career.
Awesome. And guys, you will find all the show notes and info about Chelsea on our website at bemigirl.com. That's GBEMIGirl.com. And also, Chelsea, we have been asking our audience a question to see if there was anything they wanted to ask you. And we did have one question from Chloe, and she asks, can you give any advice for new entrepreneurs that are building their team?
Yes. Definitely. I would say that you're never too small to act big when it comes to building your team. I mean, I know that in the, you know, early stages, my first employee was, you know, kind of paid on like an independent contractor basis because I didn't even understand how to do payroll or manage any of that. Luckily today, there are so many crazy resources out there. Things like, I mean, I don't know about in the UK, but here we have a platform called Gusto, which runs all your payroll for you, and Zenefits, which is basically like a digital HR. So, you know, it only took like a few months to figure out all the resources. And it was like, I was doing payroll and she was doing PTO tracking and putting together an ops manual and all these things that feel like, you know, is this silly when there's only like two or three of us, but ultimately you need to make them feel like they've got, like there is a direction and a backbone and, there is some structure. And those are like the small things, I think, from a team standpoint, that definitely make them see that there's something bigger happening if that's your intention.
Yeah.
I think the other piece of like starting to build your team is just to be really aware of like constantly asking them what they see for themselves moving forward. I think it's really telling to just kind of touch base and be like, you know, what are you loving what you're doing right now? What would you like to be doing differently? Because the more that you can support and empower your team to do what they love doing the most, the more success and kind of positive result you're going to get out of that. Mm. Might not be something that you can help them get to right away, but you could always kind of refer back to it. Be like, I know you really want to move into this role. I'm working on it. You know, it might not be for another year, but we're going to get you there. Those kinds of things, I think, really help.
Yeah.
Kind of build team morale and make them know that they're being supported.
Mm. Amazing. Thank you for answering that. Awesome. And Chelsea, yeah, could you tell us some new exciting things that, you know, you're doing today? What really has you feeling happy and alive today in terms of you as an individual or your business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the little things, you know, but we're gearing up to move into a new office in just a couple of weeks. And it's definitely a big step up for us in terms of, you know, the amenities and kind of the elements. And I think, you know, it's again, going back to team morale, it's always nice to feel like, oh, wow, we've got this like really cool, sexy new conference room and things like that, you know, fancy kitchen and just all those little things. So for me, you know, I'm excited about that, but also I love to decorate and design. So that's kind of a fun personal side of that we're looking forward to. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that brings us on to our last question, Chelsea. Could you give us one amazingly inspiring piece of advice that will help the Wear Your Dream listeners achieve their goals and dreams of starting a company?
Definitely. I don't know if it's so amazingly inspiring, but it's got me there. So,
I'm sure it will be.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, to quote Nike, just do it. But really, you know, for me, and I've said this, you know, over and over again, but you got to just put it out there, what you want to do. I mean, you got to just talk about it, whether it's with like your best friend or your therapist or someone at the bank. Like, I don't know, you just got to start to say, like, this is what I'm doing. Because as soon as you start to project talking about what you want to achieve, and if you're not, you know, really open about what your goals are, people don't know how to support and how to make referrals and how to, you know, get involved in some way. I can think of so many times when I've been like, you know, it's all about timeliness, right? You talk to someone maybe that you haven't seen in a year and you're like, oh, well, we're just starting to launch this new magazine or whatever. You become top of mind for them. They might see someone a week later and they're like, oh, we're looking to do graphic design. And then all of a sudden a connection is made and who knows, you know, it's just like, it's really hard when you're first starting out not to like, it's easy to bottle things in when you're starting out because you feel like you don't want to talk about it until it's perfect.
Yeah.
And really, like, that's, I think, one of the biggest deterrents to just like getting things going. You can perfect as you go along, you know?
Wow. So thank you so much for that, Chelsea. I'm really, really enjoyed speaking to you. And do let us know, how can we get in touch with you and find out more about your business and any other projects you've got going on?
Yeah, there's a few avenues. Our website is wearemattblack.co. My personal social networks are all at Chelsea Matthews. You can find me Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, wherever. And then we also have a digital trend and insight publication we create called the Shapeshift Report. And that's just shapeshiftreport.co. So that's another kind of cool way to get in touch with what we're doing. But if you go to our website, you'll see everything we have our hand in and how to contact us. But yeah, definitely follow along, shoot me an email, anything. I love hearing from people.
Amazing. And guys, we will have that all on the show notes page at bemigirl.com. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Chelsea. I've highly enjoyed speaking to you and I hope you've enjoyed it too.
I've loved it. Thank you so much, Alice.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Are you interested in starting a fashion brand? Well, WYD School is the new digital school for fashion entrepreneurs. Sign up to receive your free business consultation call for your new fashion startup at bemigirl.com/WYD School. That's GBEMIGirl.com/WYD. WYD School, Lego.
Dreamers, thank you for being with us today on Where Your Dreams. You can find all the show notes as well as Cool Girl content on bemigirl.com. That's GBEMIGirl.com. We would love you to subscribe to the show, so please click subscribe now and give us a rating and review so that we can continue to inspire and push you girlies to fulfill your dream. Don't forget to follow our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter pages, all at Bemi Girls. But for now, girlies, remember, anything is possible, so wear your dreams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.